Well, what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I could leave now and say it's been good to be here. I thought about several things while they're singing, but one recurring thing kept coming up and up and up is that I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know what they're singing about, who they're singing about. I'm going to tell you, if you get saved, really born again, He'll reach down where you are.
Amen.
It's the only way it can happen. You can't get saved apart from Him. It has nothing to do with us. Everything to do with Him.
Amen.
Glad He reached down when I couldn't reach up. David said He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Set my feet on a rock and established my going. Put a new song in my mouth. Many shall hear it and fear. Believe it ought to do something to them around us. The longer you save, the more it'll mean to you. I don't understand that, but I know it's right. I thought the night I got saved, it could never get any better than that night, but it has. I don't know how, but it has. The songwriter wrote, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I know He don't change, but there's something inside me that just gets sweeter and sweeter every day.
Yes.
I thought about while they're singing, I'm just going to mind the Lord and then we'll read Scripture and do whatever He wants us to.
Yes.
I thought about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He had an experience.
Yes.
And he told about it. Every opportunity he had and every time he told about it, it got a little better.
Yes.
He told about the first time in Acts chapter 9, he said there's a light come down from heaven. Then the opportunity arose a few chapters later for Paul to tell it again. He said there's a great light come down from heaven. Then a few chapters later he got to tell it again. He said there's a light brighter than the noonday sun come down from heaven. You say, what was happening is getting sweeter. I'm going to tell you, the more you think about it, the longer you're saved, the more you realize how unworthy, undeserving, vile, wretched, low down that you were when God had mercy on you. When we get to where we're in the place that we sing that song and it gets, you know, repetitive, we don't think about it. A lot of times I tell my people at my place, we just sing it and go through the motions. We don't think about what we're singing most of the time. But if we could think about the reality that we once was blind, but now we see, we once was lost, but now we're found, that God's amazing grace came to where we were, not by works of righteousness, Paul said, which we have done, but by His grace He saved us, put us in the family of God. The Bible said He gave us the adoption of sons, and whereby now we cry, Abba, Father. We have that relationship of a father with his children, with God. He's not just the creator of the universe, though He is. He's not just the supreme distant being, though He is. He's not just the almighty God, though He is. But He's my Father tonight. And if you're saved, He's your Father. And we have boldness. The Bible said we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That's not an arrogant spirit, but that's a confidence that when we go to Him as our Father, that we know He loves us and cares about us. John said, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know He hears, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. In other words, John said that if we pray like we ought to pray and ask for what we ought to ask for, because He's our Father, He will do what we ask Him to do. I'm glad to be saved. I thought about today about the Christian life. We put a lot of emphasis on circumstances and situations. And I'm glad God never changes.
Amen.
Our Christian life's not about how many times we make it on top of the mountain. It's not about that. I'm going to tell you, there's some valleys in between that's been better than the mountaintops. It didn't seem like it at the time, but I'm going to tell you, God works greater in the valley than He ever does on the mountain. You can go through the Word of God. I thought about and thought I might read it tonight. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. I do this at my place. I'm just going to obey him. I hope it's all right with you. But I thought about Elijah over there. You know, 1 minute in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, he's calling fire down from heaven. His prayers are being answered. God's working on Elijah's behalf. The fires are coming. God's glorified. The enemy's overcome. And Elijah's shouting. Everything's going good. And Elijah thinks this is the best place that I could ever be. And the next chapter, he's doubting God. You say, you don't mean that? Oh, yeah. The same God that took care of him at the brook. The same God that hit him when he had to go to Zarephath, right where Jezebel was from, was the same God that was taking notice of him. The same God that sent fire down from heaven would be the same God that would take care of him after the fact. But Elijah got over there and he got scared for his life. And he went to run and he hit his messenger, then he went on farther. And the Bible said he sat down and he wished to die. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. They have killed them and persecuted them. Just take my life and let me go now. God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Do you do well to be here? And God passed by. He wasn't in the fire and he wasn't in the earthquake, but he was in a still small voice. And Elijah got up and he hid himself in a cave. And again he wished to die. God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Is it a good thing for you to be here? He said, well, I've been jealous and I've done this and I've preached and I've served and I've called fire down from heaven. The people repented, but now they're searching for my life. I just want to die. He said, get up. You're not the only one that's serving me. Sometimes in our life, we think we're the only ones, and if we're not careful, we'll go from a mountaintop to a valley and be overcome. I heard Brother Terry Pace preach one time about being overcome when you've overcome, and that's exactly right. That's the most susceptible we are to being fall victim and prey to the things of the flesh, of the thoughts of our mind, is when we've overcome. But Elijah found out in the valley, not on the mountain. He found out in the valley that there were 7,000 that hadn't bowed a knee to Baal nor kissed his image. I'm going to tell you tonight, there've been some times in the valley I found out a whole lot more than I did on the mountain. I'm glad for every valley I went through that's gotten me to this place. It might not have been joyous at the time. It might have seemed like a long enduring time. It might have seemed fretsome and worrisome. But I'm glad God's the same God in the valley as He is on the mountain. Sometimes we get the idea that the Syrians had. They're fighting against Israel and they got to losing. And they got to taking notice and they thought, well, every time we fight them, we're fighting them on the mountains. Their God's the God of the mountains, but He can't be a God of the valleys. Let's fight them down in the valleys and we'll win. But I'm going to tell you, they soon found out the same God that was God on the mountain was the same God that was God in the valley. And I'm going to tell you, there have been days in my life, and if you'd be honest, totally honest, there have been days in yours when you felt like maybe God was just the God of the mountain. But I'm here to tell you, the same God that's God when everything's going good. It's the same God when everything's falling apart. He's just as much in control when you're out of control as He is when you feel like you're in control. I'm glad tonight to know that every valley, every low place, every difficulty that's been for my betterment and the glory of God, I give Him glory and I thank Him tonight for every valley that I've been through to help me get to where I am today. It's been in the valleys I've learned to appreciate Him more. It's been in the valleys I've felt His presence way more in the valley than I ever have on the mountain. And if you'd stop tonight and take inventory of your life and your experience, you would have to say the same. That God's presence, God's power, God's purpose has been more real to you in your deepest, darkest valley than it ever was on the mountaintop. I began to think about in the Word of God, I thought about old Gideon. When he was in the valley, thought he was all alone. That's where God came to where Gideon was, and He said, you're a mighty man of valor, and I've chosen you to lead my people. It wasn't on the mountaintop. Oh, he was threshing wheat, but he wasn't doing it at the threshing floor. The threshing floor would have been the high highest part in the city, but he's doing it at the wine press. That's the lowest part of the city. Gideon was in a valley, not just in altitude, but in spirit. Gideon was low. He said, why? If God is for us, why then has all this evil befallen us? And we're living in this day where a whole lot of the people of God feel the same. If God really is for us, why are we going through what we're going through? But the Lord said, now Gideon, you just get up from where you are. He said, the Lord is with you. Don't you worry about it at all. Just do what I command you to do. And you may be here tonight and be in a valley and feel like maybe God's forgotten you, maybe God's forsaken you. It's not about altitude. We think about that, and I got to reading in the Word of God about valleys, and there's some places where the word valley comes up, and it does come up a lot. I thought about it was in the valley where Goliath was killed. It's in the valley where the giant was put down. And it'll be a lot of times in your life that the giants of your life will be conquered in the valley, not on the mountain. And there are a lot of places that valleys come up. But it's not just about a position in nature. But it's about a feeling in the spirit of a man. There've been a lot of people in valleys that wasn't standing in a valley. I thought about the disciples. They're on board a ship, but they're in a valley. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to perish? And they found out in the valley that he's the type of man, not just any man, but the man, that even the wind and the sea would obey his voice. That's the type of man he is. That's the type of God he is. And it come out in the valley. There have been a whole lot of people in the valley. I thought about old John they sung about, and the brother testified about tonight. John really found out who Jesus was in the valley. Oh, it's wonderful to baptize him in the Jordan. It's wonderful to come out of the wilderness preaching, repent, for the Lord, the King, the Lord's hand. It's wonderful for them to say, are you him? He said, no, I'm not him. And he didn't stop there. He said, not only am I not him, he said, there's one coming after me whose coming's preferred before me. And he said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. And that's all great, grand, and wonderful. And John thought it couldn't get any better than this, but he finds himself in prison. And he says, are you really him? Or do we look for another Jesus? If I'd have been Christ, I'd have said, now boy, what are you talking about? I mean, you baptized me. You heard my Father speak out of heaven. You saw the Holy Ghost descend like a dove and light on me. What do you mean, asking, am I the one? But Jesus didn't have that attitude. He said, just don't tell John what you've seen. I'm going to tell you, it's been in my valleys. When I thought, Lord, can you get me through this? Lord, can you get me out of this one? He's allowed me to lay awake of the night and just think about all the times he got me out, all the things he brought me through, the valleys I've already been through, and the ones that may be before me. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God can take care of them all. Oh yeah, he can. He can take care of them all. I thought about the songwriter wrote, Brother Hannah Milby. I used to sing it years ago. I've heard him sing it a time or two while he's preaching, that he picked out a valley just for me. You may think that's cruel and harsh, but I'm going to tell you, I've looked back on my days and thank God he's picked out some valleys just for me. He showed me some things in the valley I'd have never known had I not walked through the valley. But the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, it'll be with me. Your presence will be more real in the valley. I'm glad for the valleys I've went through that's made his presence more real in my life. Manifest himself. You say he's always there. Yeah, that's his abiding presence. But there's more to his presence than that. There's a manifested presence. And that's what we're having in our hearts tonight. While they're singing, was him manifest himself and reminding us of where we were and what we were and where he got us from and where we are today. Thank God for the valleys. That's what's been stirring on my heart all day. I didn't know really what to do. I was coming down the road. And I know you ain't supposed to. But I was coming down the road and I picked up the phone. I texted some members of my church. Got one with me tonight, and I know he's a praying. And already knew some others were, but I just wanted to text them and tell me, you know, sometimes you just like a little confirmation. I said, I'm nervous. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do tonight. I want you to pray for me. They said, we'll go pray right now. You say, what is that? That's His presence being manifested through the believers. That's what He does. He works through us. We're His body. That's what He chooses. It's not my choosing. It's His choosing to make us a part of the body and work through us together. I'm just supposed to come tonight, I think, and say thank God for the valleys. Every low time, every hard time, some of you are here tonight. I've got confirmation in my spirit from the Holy Ghost. You're here tonight and you're in a valley and you're struggling and you can't figure out how it's going to be for your good or your better men. And you don't see how any good thing, you kind of like Nathaniel when they come to him and said, come see Jesus of Nazareth. He said, then can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There have been some days in my life, some valleys, Brother Benson, I've been through, and I thought, Lord, can any good thing come out of this? But then my heart's reminded of what Paul said, and we quote it and overquote it sometimes and misquote it and misrepresent it. Well, it's not necessarily a promise, but it was an observation by the Apostle Paul. When he said all things work together for good unto them that love God. Paul was looking back on all the valleys he had come through. He said it's worked together for good. He said I can forget them things that are behind. He said I can reach forth to that that's before. And he said, Timothy, I'm telling you what's before us is far greater than what's behind us. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, Paul said, this valley's just a stepping stone to get us to where we need to be with God. And he said, Timothy, just chalk it up to learning. Chalk it up to schooling. Chalk it up to experience. Give God the glory and carry on. I'm going to tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever trouble you're in, just give God the glory and go on. It'll be good for you in the end. Job said, and all he went through, and ain't none of us went through what Job went through. Job said, when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. He said, this ain't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant for Job. You know it wasn't. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm going off the scriptures. Job said, I'm in a fix. He said, I'm in such a mess. I don't even know where to find God. But he said, if I could find it, I'd order my case before him. You say that's arrogant. No, it wasn't. What Job was saying, I have confidence that he would have pity and compassion upon me. He said, though he slay me, I'm just going to trust him. When all this is over, them bunch of so-called friends said, you've sinned, Job. You've done wrong. It's your fault. Job said, can't you see the hand of God's in all this? He said, I don't know what he's doing, but it's him that's doing it. And because of that, he said, I'll just lay down. The Bible said, I'll take my rest because I'll take my rest in safety. I'll be secure because there's hope. I'm going to tell you something, child of God. It don't matter how bad your valley is. There's still hope because God's still in control. And he's a taking care of you. And he will take care of you. He's never forsaken one of his own, and he never will. He made us a promise. And that promise becomes real in the valley when he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm glad for it tonight. I've had some good friends, I thought, in this life, and still have some. And I'm not calling anybody out or saying anything. I'm not asking for EP, but I've had some I thought would never leave me, and they've turned their back and walked away. Christ did too. He got to preaching and said, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you'll not inherit the kingdom of heaven. They said, this is a hard saying. And the Bible said many, not of the world, not of the outer circle, it said many of his disciples from that time forward walked away and walked no more with him. And we're hard on Peter, but he sure did get it right. At least on this occasion, Jesus said, will you also go away? And without hesitation, Peter spoke up. He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living. He said, we can't get nowhere else what we can get with you. Amen. Lord, if we do go away, who can compare to you?
Right.
I'm going to tell you, child of God, if you do walk away, if you do turn in your time of trial, and where are you going to go? Who else can you go to? The songwriter said, there's no other name so sweet as Jesus. No one ever cared so much for me as to shed His precious blood to save me. No one ever cared so much for me. No one cares like Jesus. He asked the question, who would walk and carry a cross up to Calvary? No one ever cared so much for me. I'm going to tell you tonight, you say, preacher, you don't know where I am. I may not. But I'm going to tell you, in a valley or on the mountain, there ain't nobody cares for you like Him. And there's no friend like Him. There's no helper like Him. There's no comforter like Him. There's no God like Him. There's no compassionate friend like Him. There's no side-by-side tag-along like Him. There's no Holy Ghost like Him. There's no feeling like Him. There's just nobody like Him. And even in the valley, if it takes a valley for Him to show us who He is, ain't it worth the valley to learn more about Him? Oh, it may not seem worth it at the moment. I'm going to tell you, I can look back on a few. And boy, it's rough going through them. Sometimes I thought life would never be the same. I'm going to tell you tonight, it ain't. And it's a good thing. It ain't the same. I'm not the same one I was going in the valley, and I give God the glory. And I'm glad I'm not. It's because the valley was for me. And I thank God for the valleys. You may be here tonight and going through one. And they sung so well about the friend that goes with you, takes care of us. He's always there. Just thank God for the valleys. You said, preacher, I don't see any good right now. Just thank Him anyway. You just hang on just a little while. It'll all come forth in the end. And you'll be better than you were to go. But to begin with, once you go through the valley, I thank God for the valleys tonight, brother.